Lord, sometimes I find it hard to say how I really feel. When in my life you've done so much, seems all I've done is fail. But you've been faithful to forgive me, even though I felt it undeserved. Lord, how can I find the words? So I'll just praise you, praise your holy name. Give you all the glory, you're evermore the same. Everlasting Father, King of kings and Prince of peace, you gave your life to make my life complete. So I'll just praise you. Lord, I'm learning how to trust in things I cannot see, and trying to be the example that you would have me be. And I won't be discouraged, even though the road is sometimes long. I've realized it only makes me strong. So I'll just praise you, praise your holy name. Give you all the glory, you're evermore the same. Everlasting Father, King of kings and Prince of peace, you gave your life to make my life complete. So I'll just praise you. I'll just praise you. I'll just praise you.
That's one of the things church is good for. Come together to just praise the Lord. Amen.
We're American folks. We have our problems. We have a lot to praise the Lord for. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. All right. Genesis chapter 12 is where we began this morning. Genesis chapter 12. Have your Bibles. Feel free to turn there. As always, I need your prayers. Appreciate you praying for me. I'm about to do what I enjoy best. I didn't choose the ministry. The Lord chose it for me. But He couldn't have chosen anything I enjoy any better than what I do. I often tell folk, you may not believe a thing I say, but I'm going to say it such a way that you'll believe I believe what I'm saying. Amen? Boy, I thank God every day for my salvation. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my church. Thank God for Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen? All right, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. Let's bow together once again for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to be here, be part of a service such as this. I'm thankful for what we've already been able to learn in Sunday school classes today. I'm thankful for the good spirited singing that leads right up to the preaching hour. And Lord, you know that I always need your help. I solicit it. I ask for it. And I pray that you'd bless as we continue to preach from the Word of God today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak for a while this morning on a family that blessed the world. And I just read about that family. Abraham's family. A family that blessed the world. God used this particular family, I believe, for one purpose. And that was to be an example to all other families. I think anybody would agree that our families are in trouble today. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night Bible study, I might suggest, not just because I shared it, but I suggest that you might want to get a CD, a copy of Wednesday night's Bible study. I gave you Robinson's version of what caused all the problems in Baltimore last week. Now, the psychologists and all the, quote, so-called experts have not solved the real problem. They're not finding out what the real problem is. The real problem and what caused all the rioting and all the problems and all the looting and all the arson and all the burning in Baltimore comes down to two issues. Number one, the breakdown in the family. The breakdown in the American family. It's in trouble. And if we don't get the families back together, we can expect a whole lot more of that. And second problem I shared was the social media. Now, a retired school teacher, glad to have him here, have other teachers here. If those children would have left all of the social technology at home last Monday and sat down in the classroom and listened to the teachers, they wouldn't have had the time to say, we're going to purge at 3 p.m. Amen? Come on, somebody help me out. Everybody doing okay? Those two things led and ignited and irrigated all the problems. Amen? Parents, if you don't get anything else out of what I say, when you send your children to school, send them to get an education and leave the electronics at home. Amen? I even tell folks when they come to church, bring their King James Bible. Don't bring it on a battery-operated iPad. Is that what you call those things or something like that? If a battery goes dead, you wouldn't even have a Bible. Amen? Amen. Bring that Bible church with you. That good old 1611 KJV. It's been working for over 400 years, and it'll still work. All right? But I want you to notice something here. God spoke to Abraham, and he said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee, he said, in your family, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. God wants to bless families. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless my family. I think He has. Far more than we deserve. But I'm glad to be on the receiving end, aren't you? I'm glad to be a recipient of God's blessings and God's mercy. When you got in your automobile this morning, and you drove away, if you happen to be in a congested area, when you get in your automobile every Sunday morning and drive by your driveway, you're giving a signal to your neighbors that you believe in church, that you're supporting your church. You're giving a testimony just by your action. You're saying to them, and they're saying to themselves, those folks are probably going to church. See, God used you folks as a testimony and as a witness to others as they saw you driving away that they obviously are going to the house of God. Now, God used Abraham's family to establish some biblical principles that are worthy of note. But let me say this. This is not the age of principles. This is the age of methods. You ever notice that? Everybody has methods. Methods are many, but principles are few. Methods can change, and they often do, but real heart principles and Bible principles never change. There's a difference, okay? God truly blessed Abraham's family. Look again at verse 2 where God made the promise. He said, I will bless thee. Now, look over in chapter 13, just one page over, and verse 2 in this one. It says, and Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. I say God kept His promise, wouldn't you? Now, there's nothing wrong with a little silver and gold, amen? Nothing wrong with that. If God blesses you, thank God for it. Just remember that that's where it comes from. Now, if you have money, you certainly ought to thank Him for it. But if money has you, then you need to part from the money. Money is a good servant. It's a poor God. I thank God for a little silver and gold, amen? I even thank God for those promissory notes. They keep the bank off of him, amen? They let me pay my bills. I'm thankful for all that. There's nothing wrong with that. If God blesses you and your diligence and your labor and your hard work, and by the way, that's God's way of getting it. Let me say that again. That's God's way of getting it. The Bible's very clear, if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen? If a man's able-bodied to work, if he don't want to work, let him get a little bit hungry. Amen? Somebody once said, if he gets hungry enough, he'd get a job and go to work. No, if he gets hungry enough, he'll steal your food. Amen? Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, but let's consider three things in the rest of the message why God blessed Abraham and his family. Number one, Abraham kept a right relationship with God for the most part. Now, he was not perfect. There were some flaws in Abraham's life. There was even some sins in his life. But I might say this in his defense, very few. But there were some because he had Adam's nature, amen? And everybody has Adam's nature, and that just automatically drops us below the state of perfection, okay? He was not a perfect person, but he did maintain a relationship with God most of his life. And I say that most of his life because of something we'll share here in just a few moments. We studied the life of Abraham. We learned that he believed in worship. He believed in prayer. He believed in sacrifice. He believed in giving. He believed in holiness. And he always, for the most part, you find him doing the right thing. Now back to chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. In other words, he's in obedience here, all right? Then you get down to verse 6 and 7. Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now notice this. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. That tells me that he was a man of prayer. Verse 8, notice it also. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham built two altars. He built an altar at Shechem, and then later he builds one at Bethel. Now, something of interest to me here. We often say this is of interest. Well, what interests me may not interest you, okay? But what is of interest to me that I pick up very quickly when I'm studying about Abraham is each time that God moved him, each time that God relocated him, he didn't spend 6 months trying to find a house to live in. The first thing he did each time he moved was he built an altar to worship God. That tells me that he was serious about maintaining a relationship with God. It tells me that he was a man that believed in prayer. Now let me say this to fathers, okay? We often use the expression Father Abraham, all right? Let me speak to the fathers very quickly. You better have an altar where you can pray. You better talk to your children about prayer. You better pray for your children. Pray with your children. They need to hear you calling their name in prayer. Fathers, the next time you sit down at a good meal, I hope the Lord bless you with one today. When you're offering thanks for that food, you call your wife's name out loud and thank God for the work that she put in preparing that meal. And if somebody else prepared it, thank God for them. Amen? Pray for them. Lift them up. People need to hear their name called out in prayer. Oftentimes, somebody say, pray for me. We say, I'll sure pray for you, and we walk on and never do it. Now, you listen carefully to me. I don't care if it's an aisle at Walmart or some other place. If you walked up to me and said, I got a serious problem, would you pray with me about it? I say, let's do it right now. Now, I'm warning you. Don't ask me to pray for you if you don't mean business. I just believe there's power in prayer. And I believe it ought to be a regular part of our daily diet. All right, now, priority when moving. Let me talk about that for just a moment. I mentioned that Abraham, the first thing he did was what? Build an altar. If God, in His providence, relocates you, or if you just choose to relocate, and most of the time God doesn't have anything to do with it. We make those decisions ourselves. But listen to me carefully. If you decide to be a mobile person and you decide to move, as a preacher of the gospel, I highly recommend certain things to you. Before you ever choose where you're going to live, be sure that in that city or that community, there's a Bible preaching church. And be sure there's a good school where your children get an education. And if you don't have those two things, I'd highly suggest that God's saying don't park there. Don't park there. Those ought to be priorities in your life when you move. Now consider this. Abraham built an altar at Bethel. He built one at Hai. The word Bethel means the house of God. Are you ready for the next one? Hai means the place of ruin. Abraham parked with Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. He's parked right in the middle. He's between these two cities. And there he builds an altar of prayer. There's a spiritual application we make about that. The house of God on one side, the place of ruin on the other side. Prayer is the one thing that stands between you and ruin. Therefore, it's imperative that we maintain a good prayer life. Chapter 12, in verse 10. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. Now, in my introduction, I said, for the most part, Abraham was a righteous man that maintained a relationship with God. But when you get down to verse 10, something shows up. There's a famine in the land. Abraham was known as a man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, he's mentioned there. Great man of faith. But in a time of famine, his faith wavers. Now he leaves Bethel, the house of God, goes down. That's a key word. Goes down. Not to say he goes up. He goes down into Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. So in a time of need, in a time of famine, rather than staying put, rather than remaining steadfast and trusting God to meet his needs, he leaves the house of God, Bethel, and he goes down into the world. Now, today we would say, in a time of whatever the problem may be, folks walk away from church. And many folk are doing that. I've been at this for 48 plus years. I've never seen it as difficult to attract people to the house of God. And even when you finally attract someone, it's even a greater chore to keep them in the house of God. But you remember this. When you walk away from Bible preaching churches, and you take your family or you take yourself and you walk away from the house of God, the only direction is down. You're headed for trouble. You're headed for disaster. Now, I mentioned that he leaves the house of God and he's going down. Abraham started lying before he got to Egypt. You see what I'm saying? The point I'm trying to make? When you decide that you're going to walk away from the house of God, the place where God's people worship, it's usually downhill all the way. You ever read the book of Jonah? Old Jonah went down to Joppa. He bought a ticket to go down to the ship. He went down the lower parts of the ship. See, every step away from the will of God is a downward step. Down, 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 down. Old Abraham, time of weakness, he starts down to Egypt and starts lying before he gets there. You see, what was he lying about? He said, now when we get down there, he said, you need to realize, honey, you're a beautiful woman. This is his wife he's talking to. Well, you ought to think your wife's pretty, amen? But he said, when we get down to Egypt, said, tell them, you're my sister. Started lying. He had it all planned out before he got there. When you get to Egypt, and I've studied this, nothing is said about Abraham building an altar in Egypt. You know why? He's away from the house of God. He's off out in the world. Now, use this in carefully what I'm about to say. You won't find an altar in the movie theaters. You won't find an altar in the dance hall. Everybody still okay? Huh? You won't find an altar in a bar room somewhere. You won't find an altar in a drug house somewhere. You're not going to find a drug dealer bowing on his knees saying, God, I pray that you'd bless my drug business today. You're not going to find altars out in Hollywood. You're not going to find those women that don't know how to dress modestly. You're not going to see them bowing down and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm showing my nudity today. Amen. Hello. Everybody still awake? You don't build altars out in the world. You build altars in the house of God. Now, I've told you several times in recent weeks, we've forgotten what altars are all about. We think altars are only for unsaved folk. Altars are built for God's people. Altars ought to be filled every Sunday morning. At the conclusion of service, God's people ought to utilize altars. They're for God's people to worship God. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what they're for. Now, after a period of time in Egypt, Abraham returns to Bethel and renewed his worship and renewed his prayer life. That's called rededication. Check it out. He just went right, he came up out of Egypt and went back to the house of God and rededicated his life. Went right back to that altar that he'd forsaken. And I want to tell you something. We're all subject to falling. Come on. There's not a perfect person here today. But my friend, when we as God's people realize we've drifted, we need to get a handle on that and come back to the altar of rededication. That's what Abraham did. This was a family that truly blessed the world. Let me hurry along. He not only had a good relationship with God, but he maintained a spirit of generosity. Now don't get nervous, okay? Because you're already looking at me like a calf looking at a new fence, like you know where I'm headed. Well, you're probably right, amen? He maintained a spirit of generosity. The curse of all ages is the curse of selfishness. Every war is fought because of selfishness. Every broken home, because of selfishness. Every domestic problem, every social problem, every church problem is a direct result of selfishness. Now in Genesis, this is all pretty close together, but I'm in chapter 14, talking about the fact that Abraham maintained a spirit of generosity. Chapter 14, verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into my hand. And notice this, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, I done lost some of you right there. Hello? I done lost some of you right there. Because you're smart, amen? I can tell you, folks, pretty sharp. You know what tithe means, tenth, amen? Yeah, right. Now, when you get over the New Testament, there's a generation of them that they tithe, but they live like heathens after they've done that. Right. The Lord said, now you've left off the most important part, judgment, mercy, and faith. He said, now these ought you to do, but he said, don't leave the other undone. Right. So whatever you want to call it, God's people ought to be generous, amen? Right. You know, you can usually judge a Baptist by his pocketbook. Amen. Yeah. Well, a few of you hanging with me. Amen. Now, Abraham was generous with his income. Jesus said this one time in Luke 6:38. He said, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I'm telling you what he said. This is not Robinson theology. He said, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men, God said, men, give unto your bosom. In Malachi chapter 3, he said, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. He said, try me and prove me and see if I'll not pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. Tithing is something that has to be experienced. Generosity is something that has to be experienced. You can't outgive God. Some folks say, I just can't afford to. I can't afford not to myself. Man, we filed our taxes last year, not this year, but last year. We filed our taxes on our income of 13. And when all of our information came in, And Beth figured up our taxes. I told my wife, I said, we've been robbing God. I'd forgot that we were both senior citizens. We were drawing Social Security. Hello? I said, we've been robbing God. I said, the Bible tells me the first fruit of all thine increase. And we got figuring that up. I said, add $50 a week more than what we've been given. Had to increase it. Been robbing God. You say, 50? Man, I don't even give that much. Well, you ought to quit robbing God. Amen. Try him out. See? We had to increase ours that much. Why? Because God blessed us that much. That's why. God told me in His book, said, try me and prove me and see. Don't you tell me it doesn't work. It's worked well for me and my family. I don't say this to be a bragger, but my family's been debt-free since I was 35 years old. You know why? Because God's kept us that way. Because the first thing we do every week is we make sure we take care of God. I wrote my check on Friday, 2 days ago. Amen? I didn't wait till this morning. Because see, if I'd waited this morning, I might have went to Walmart yesterday and spent it. Amen? Hey, how's everybody doing? Y'all having a good time? Amen. Join in. Amen. The party's on. Amen. Come on, get you a plate. Go through the buffet line. Help yourself. Have a good time, okay? Now, but now listen, our generosity doesn't just hinge on money. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you reached out generously and helped somebody in a desperate need? How long has it been since you just forgot about yourself and forgot about your selfish attitude and said, you know, that person needs help. That family needs help. That little boy might need help. That little girl needs help. Look at that little bus kid. They need clothes. How long has it been since you just took a notice of the affairs of some other person that stood in need and reached out because you were a generous person and said, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to let myself, my family be a blessing to everybody else around. Number three, and last of all, Abraham maintained a disciplined household. He had his house in order. Look in chapter 18. I'll be through in about 7 minutes. In case you're keeping time, amen? I'll be through in about 7 minutes. Genesis 18, verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Look at this. For I know him. By the way, he knows you too. Hello. You can't hide. You may hide it from human. You're not going to hide it from God. God knows all about you. God knows all about me. But he says this about Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Now God said that about this man. He said, I've got confidence in him. He said, I know what he's going to do. This is God's assessment, this man Abraham. He says, I know his heart. I know how he feels. I know how he thinks. I know how he acts. He said, I know he's going to discipline his children. Everybody's got their answer why the schools are failing. You're looking in the wrong place. It's not the schools that's failing. It's the homes that's failing. Come on. Put it where it belongs. You send a teachable product down that school. In any school in America, they get an education. But you send a kid down there that's going to crawl on the tables and crawl over the top of the tables and kick the chairs and turn over the chairs and pinch his neighbor. Shame on you. Abraham wouldn't have done that. I guarantee if old Abraham sent old Isaac to school, he had a disciplined product. He said, I know he's going to take care of his household. He said, he's going to be the head of his house too. It's another problem we got in this country. Too many wimpy men hanging around the house. Amen? Hello? He said, I know he's going to lead his family the right way. So you see, this was the family that blessed the world. So it comes right down to where we're at. Now let's get off this guy Abraham. Let's bring this thing right down to where we live. Where we live. What about you and me? Are people better? Or are they worse for knowing us? Think about that. Is our community a better place because of our families? Or is it worse? Are our churches better churches because of our families? And by the way, that's what makes up churches. Families. I mean, I'm just tossing out some questions that only you can answer. Only I can answer. One of these days soon, I'm going to be out of here. But I need to ask myself a question. What have I contributed to this community? Have I done anything to make this community a better place? Have I contributed anything to make this a better church? What's my family done? What's your family doing to make this a better community, a better church, a better place to live? Abraham's blessing started with him leaving a land of idolatry and following the true God. His father, Terah, was a worshiper of idols. One day God reached down in that land of idol worship. He said, come on, Abraham, you're my man. And brought him up to the land of Canaan. And he said, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. I'm a recipient today of Father Abraham. They set a great, great example. His seed produced the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it comes down to this. Abraham set the example. A family that blessed the world. It all started by him turning to God. What's missing in the average American home today is God's been kicked out. Or maybe I'll say it this way. He's never been allowed in. He's never been invited in. And you know how it starts? With one person realizing they're a sinner and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm putting my personal faith and my personal trust in you. It starts with the head of the house. It started with Abraham, the head of the house. Men, it starts with you. Are you saved? Wives, mothers, it starts with you. Are you saved? Teenage children, it'll start with you. Are you saved? Every person and every family with the mentality, the age of accountability, that understands their sinner and need of a Savior ought to call on Jesus Christ and trust Him as Savior. And then there's times in our life as Christians that we just need to do what Abraham did. We just need to get back to Bethel. We just need to get back to the house of God like he did and rededicate our lives afresh and say, Lord, I realize I've kind of drifted. Got too much of the world's baggage hanging on me. Been out in the world too long. And I just need to rededicate my life and confess that and get it all under the blood and start all over again. That's what old Abraham did. Whatever your need is today, I'm going to ask us to do likewise while we stand together very quietly.